The Holy Gospel according to St. John, chapter 9, beginning with verse 30. The disciples went on from there and passed through Galilee. And Jesus did not want anyone to know, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he is killed, after 3 days he will rise." But they did not understand the saying and were afraid to ask him. And they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you discussing on the way?" But they kept silent, for on the way they had argued with one another about who was the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12, and he said to them, "If anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all." And he took a child and put him in the midst of them, and taking him in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me." Please be seated. In the name of Jesus, amen. Little kids have big dreams. I was thinking about it this week and some of the crazy ideas I had. Did you have crazy ideas when you were a little kid? Anybody? Hit the baseball the best out of all the people on the team? Dance the best, sing the best? Have the fastest feet? How many different kinds of dreams can kids have? Man, many. But dreams aren't just for kids. In our gospel reading for the day, we hear the disciples dreaming. They're thinking in grand ways about themselves, pitting themselves against each other, and Jesus is just sober. He's serious. Jesus is focused. He knows what he's about, and he's going to carry it out no matter what. And so they're going about the Judean countryside. Jesus is loving, healing, and forgiving. He's also explaining to his disciples the gospel. He's explaining to them what he's going to do. It sounds pretty sobering. In fact, they hardly know what to say. They're afraid to ask. But then Jesus asks them a question. What were you talking about? Crickets, cricket, cricket. No one says anything. It's like they were kids caught in their pride, because they were arguing with each other. I'm better than you are. No, I'm better than you are. They're pointing the fingers at each other saying, "You're not as great as I am." It's quite a picture. Disciples are lost. And this is what can happen to the church. And it's something for us to consider and to be warned about, because it's not about the disciples anymore. It's about us. Our meditation this morning is titled, "St. Paul Leaders, Beware of the Dangers." Because there really are ruts on both sides of the road here in our gospel reading. Now, the side we see is the self, and how does it go? Self-aggrandizement. They're thinking way too much about themselves and thinking too little about each other. But I would argue that in leadership, not only can you think too much of yourself, but you can also think too little of yourself. So there's another self word. It's self-deprecation. So on one side of the road, you have self-aggrandizement, and the other, self-deprecation. We can think too high of ourselves. We can think too little of ourselves. And the idea here is, beware the danger. Beware the danger. There are two sides on this road of service. We see the disciples falling into the one side and they're getting stuck, and Jesus has to pull them out of there and rescue them from themselves and their pride. Although now we see in the gospel reading that they're stuck in their pride and they're not saying a thing, and so Jesus has to move forward. And certainly he does, because he's telling them the good news. This is what the Son of Man is going to do. And what Jesus did on Calvary's cross is for all the problems you and I have. What Jesus did on Calvary's cross is to rescue us from all the ways we get stuck in the rut of sin and failure, fear and shame, all those things. And that's what leaders need to hear in our fellowship. And we're going through the process of selecting leaders to serve in our constitutional structure. We need leaders who can help us succeed in God's will and ways. And that's what leadership is. Leadership is making things work to God's praise and His glory. Not to glorify self and not to beat up ourselves either when we fall short and fail as leaders. Leadership is a challenging thing for us to think about, especially when we think about the disciples long ago. The leaders of the church, these would be the apostles. They would be the ones that would record the New Testament for us. But take comfort in the good news is that even if the disciples are struggling, Jesus isn't. He knows exactly what needs to be done. He's not going to fumble. He's going to succeed. He's going to get the job done. There was a crazy game when I was a kid. I don't know, did they played this in Wyoming where I was born and raised. I don't know about around here. Follow the leader? Ring a bell to anybody? Where someone is the leader, they all grab hands, and then the leader's job is to lose everybody. That's not what leaders do. And boy, it was kind of painful too, especially if you were at the end of that human whip. You could get cracked pretty good and go sailing. I know. I didn't really like the game, and it didn't make a lot of sense to me because leaders don't want to lose people. Leaders want to bring people along with them. Leaders want to lift up the tide of everything so the whole boat can float better and travel to various things. And in the church, we're looking for and we're talking with people to lead us and help us all be a part of the process. And leaders don't do everything for us. They help us figure out what needs to be done. And that's what leadership is. Leadership is about helping everyone in our congregation succeed. But before it's about everyone else, we need leaders who are honest with their own struggles. Just like we heard in our Old Testament reading and in our epistle reading, we need people that aren't afraid to say, I don't know what to do. Or I'm frustrated with this. We need the Lord to lead us through this. Or I'm a little too ambitious. Sorry, I'm taking you on too much of a ride, team. We need leaders who are willing to humble themselves and to be helpful and to also share forgiveness. That's what leadership is all about. And, you know, I probably need to say some things about what we tend to be in a lot of ways in North Texas, and that's achievers. Thinking we can figure it all out on our own, or we don't need to have a team. Certainly not everything that a church is involved in needs to have a team. I mean, there's a place to have an achiever take care of it for us and report back. And there's a place where if you have an achiever, it'll sink the whole project if we're not careful. But there's something else that I've talked a lot about with some fellow pastors in our area over the last few years, and even talked about it with some of you, the danger for leaders to become entrepreneurs, one-man bands. They're capable, they're skilled, they can do a lot, they can gather people around them and make things work, but as soon as they're gone, what happens to whatever the ministry was or the mission was? Poof. Certainly there's a place for research and development, figuring out new things that we can do. Leadership is also figuring out the right things to do without becoming too pedantic. There's a difference between leadership and management. Leadership is figuring out the right things to do, and management is doing the right things well. Now, sometimes leaders pick the wrong things to do, and that hurts the cause. Sometimes management makes the wrong things too efficient because they're not doing anything, but it's a well-oiled machine that doesn't take you anywhere. So you need to have both leadership and management. And that's how our Constitution lays things out. The danger with leadership is that it can become an achievership or an entrepreneurship. But what we're looking for are people that can help us rebuild our constitutional structure and traditions. We're looking for people who can help us work on who and what we are together. But there are some basic rules to leadership. I call it the three rule, the three rules to leadership. Don't lead alone. Lead with others who can work with you. Know who's on your team. You know, leaders need a lot of different people to cover things that they're not skilled at. And then report back to the congregation on what's going on. Too often in churches, there's a lot going on behind the scenes. It's just that unless you're a part of the council or the board, you're not the wiser for it because there is no information. And so it's important for leaders to close the loop so that everyone is involved. There are things that are extra to the Constitution that need to be shared with the membership so the membership can talk about it and agree upon it. We call those voters' meetings, where the stamp of approval and the ownership by all is shared. Of course, churches can really struggle. Today, we had an example of the church long ago struggling. Struggling with, Ron, what in the world are you doing? It's a surprise. Good leaders focus on sermons too. No offense, Ron. So I've lost my place of thought too. Forgive me, Ron. Forgive me. Forgive me, brother. You know, the church, this is also something leaders have to understand. The church can really struggle. The church can be uncoordinated. The church can fight with each other. That's what the church was doing that day when Jesus said, oh, what were you guys talking about? You know, he wasn't trying to make them just feel terrible about themselves. He was helping them understand what was going on inside of them, their heart and their mind. How did James say it? When you quarrel with each other, how did he say it? When you have jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not boast and don't be false to the truth. This is not wisdom that comes from above. It is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. So what Jesus was doing in that very moment was rescuing his church from the devil's fingers. He was pulling them out of the clutch of the devil, reminding them that it's not about being jealous of each other. It's not about being ambitious. Luther is credited for saying, an ambitious pastor is a plague on a congregation. That's pretty powerful. I came here from California to serve you, to help you with your mission and ministry, not to figure it out for you. That can be ambitious. I'd rather work with a group on what we own together than create something that no one likes. And so it's important for us to understand that the church can get stuck in, you know, I'm better than you are, or why do we have this guy? They're no good, or whatnot. The good news is that Jesus can come to our rescue and indeed does come to our rescue. And how wonderful it is to understand that. Lutherans like to think in terms of law and gospel, and the law and gospel today is the church gets stuck in its struggles, and the gospel is Jesus comes to the rescue. He opens up his hands to people who are pointing at each other and to the sinful ones who just want to kill him, and he offers himself to embrace and to forgive. We're a miracle, born of the gospel and sustained by the gospel. And even if at times we find ourselves stumbling and fumbling, We have someone who loves us deeply and dearly and forever and will bring us through these things. You know, it's not about the disciples anymore. We know the rest of the story for them. They went on. They got focused. They got filled with the Spirit. They set the world in a place of peace with the good news of Jesus, even if many didn't want it. And now we're the ones. Now it's our turn. We're the church that he is caring for. We're the ones that he is talking to and blessing in his word and in his meal so that we can be about our life together. Not only do we beware of the dangers, but we also understand that though it's not an easy thing for us to figure out where we're going into the future, and there are places where we find ourselves stuck, we have a constant companion who's with us. And what Jesus did long ago, he still does today as our resurrected and reigning Savior and Lord, who will care for us as we admit our struggles, who will lead us and guide us to places that are even beyond our understanding. And though the trail of mission and ministry may be a challenge from time to time, we know the one who is with us, and he loves to be with us. You know, there's a passage in Ephesians that's just so beautiful. And this is a praise of God, but it's also something I want you to take heart in yourself, because this is about God working through you. And here it is. This is Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Think about it. Far beyond our dreams, our big kid dreams. Now to him who is able to do measurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. And that's my big dream. Let it be your big dream. Let's do it all for Jesus. And let's let him receive all the credit. And let's keep pointing to the one who is the greatest of all, because he came and was the servant of all. In the name of Jesus, amen.